Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Dan Kestenbaum. Meseches Nedarim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yehuda Koenig in loving memory of Malka and Aaron Zvi Krausman.
Today's daf is daf Nun Beis. We will begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us, HaNeder Min HaChalav, someone who makes a neder from milk, Mutter Bekum, he is Mutter in Kum, V'Rabbi Yosi Iser and Rabbi Yosi Asers. What is Kum? So the Rosh explains, as well as the Mefarish over here, that Kum is whey. W-H-E-Y. What is whey? Whey is when person curdles milk into cheese. The liquid part that's left over is called whey. It's a very light color because it most of the fat of the milk curdled into cheese. The leftover part is called whey. This is what the Rosh and the Mefarish call Nisyuvi Dechalba. However, the Taz in Yoredeya Simen Pealef Eis Zayin is Mavur, as we will discuss, that he understands that that is not what kum refers to, but rather kum refers to the following. After the whey is separated from the cheese, so sometimes they would heat up the whey, and when they heat up the whey, what happens is the milk part of the whey separates from the rest, which is water, which is a clear substance like water. And the Mishnah over here, when it says kum, is referring to the water that is separated from the whey, which is even further removed from what we would consider chalav to be considered milk. According to the Taz, Lechora, if someone makes a neder from milk, even according to the Rabbanan, he would be aser in Nisyuvi Dechalba. He'd be aser in whey. The Mishnah is only permitting kum, which according to the Taz's understanding is after the whey, it's the water is separated from the whey, that is what he is mutter in, only that. To give some background to the words of the Taz and some very interesting ideas, we will say over the halacha in Yoredeya Simen Pei Aleph, Se'if Hei, where the Shulchan Aruch writes that the meraglayim, the urine of an animal, of a kosher animal, the chalav and its milk, umei chalav shelahan, and the water of its milk, which the Mefarshim explain refers to the whey, is mutter. V'hu adin l'mei mei chalav shelahan. And the Shulchan Aruch continues that the mei of the mei chalav is also mutter. What is the mei of the mei chalav, which is called the mei mei chalav? It's the water of the water. So that refers to what we mentioned before, the water that's separated from the whey. And the Shulchan Aruch continues, v'yesh mi sha'aser bazeh, and there are those that hold it is aser to drink, as the Mefarshim explained, that it's aser to drink the water that's separated from the whey. The reason for this shita that holds the meimei chalav is aser is found in the Rosh in Chulin in the 8th parak in Simen and Aleph, that he explains that really whatever comes out of a live animal has an issue as an iser of Aver Menachai, but there's a special Xeris HaKasa where the Torah tells us that milk of an animal is mutter to drink. However, the water that's separated from the whey does not have a status of milk, and that is aser. And the Rosh writes, don't wonder, how is it possible that originally while it was in the milk, it was going to be mutter to drink, and now that it's separated, it's going to be aser? Because we find such a thing when it comes to the blood of the limbs of an animal, that the blood that's swallowed, that's absorbed into the meat is mutter. But once it's separated from the animal, it's going to be Aser. And the Rosh brings Rabbeinu Simcha that argues, and he says that it is Mutter to drink all parts of the milk, even the water that's separated. But that's the Machlokes Rishonim that the Shulchan Aruch is bringing over here. Whether Meimei Chalav, the water that's separated from the whey, whether it is Mutter to drink, or whether it is a problem of Eiver Menachai. The Taz over there asks the Kasha that what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that someone who makes a nether from milk is mutter in kum. So we see that the Meimei Chalav is mutter to drink because it's mutter in kum. So this is a raya, a clear raya against the Shita that says that Meimei Chalav is Aser. And the Prima Gadim over there in Mishpatzai Zav comments that apparently the Taz held that kum of our Mishnah is Meimei Chalav, not the whey itself, like the Rosh explains, but the water that is separated from the whey. And the Taz is bothered by why the Mishnah says he's mutter b'kum, it should be Aser anyways, because of Eiver Menachai, according to this Shita of the Rishonim. And the Taz answers that when the Mishnah says he's mutter and kum, it doesn't mean to eat it. It means that he's mutter to have hana from the kum. So if someone asked getting hana from milk, he'd be mutter to get hana from the kum. But ain't a chaname according to this Shita, which the Rosh brings from the Ramban. According to this Shita, it would be asr for the person to actually drink the kum. According to the Rosh and the Mefarish over here that clearly explain kum of our Mishnah to refer to the whey, the question of the Taz would not begin because whey, according to everybody, is mutter to drink. We know of a dish in the Gemara called kutach, which is made partially out of the nesuve dechalba, it's made out of whey. That, according to everybody, is mutter to drink. The only problem is with the Meimei Chalav, the water that's separated from the whey, where here you have a Machlekes Rishonim, whether it's mutter to drink. The Karen Ira over here asks on the Pshat of the Taz, where the Taz wants to learn that mutter bekum in our Mishnah refers not to drinking the kum, but getting hanah from the kum. The Karen Ira asks that our Mishnah is talking about where the person made another stam. He didn't specify hana or eating. And the halacha is that we assume the person's kavana is only from consumption, from eating or drinking. And the Karen Ira says it has to be that way. Because if in our Mishnah, the person would be asr in hana when he makes the nether stam, so then why does the Mishnah continue later on and say that someone who makes a nether from basar, from meat, is mutter in the right dave, in the gravy, or the kippah, or the small pieces of meat that fall to the bottom of the pot, if the person made a nether from hana, that he's not going to get any hana from meat, then he should be asr even in the right dave, even in the gravy, or the little pieces of meat, even according to the Rabbanan, there should be no machlaikis about this. So, Memela, the Karen Ira says, the Taz is ma'id, Sarach Ian, to say the Mishnah is referring to Hana. This Inyan of whether a person makes a nether stam, do we assume he means even Hana, or he just means eating? In Mirtz Hashem, we'll discuss that even more detail in tomorrow's daf. Going further in our Mishnah towards Nidbeis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says that someone who makes a nether from basa, from meat, muta beraitev uva kippa. He's mutter in the gravy, and kippa, the Ron explains, is small shreds of meat that fall to the bottom of the pot. And we spoke about this in the beginning of the perek, that even though technically this is meat, but since when the person made the nether from basar, that is not his kavana to aser these little shreds of meat or gravy from the meat, he is going to be mutter. Reb Yehuda Iser, and Reb Yehuda asers Yesayis Tekemachlaikes, over here, the Ritva learns that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only Aser, the meat that fell to the bottom of the pot after the time of his nether. Meaning at the time of his nether, it was regular meat. And then when it's cooked in the pot, the little shreds fell to the bottom or was made into gravy. Then Rabbi Yehuda holds its Aser. However, if it was already shreds or gravy before the person made the nether, then even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would be mutter. The Karen Ira is Medayik Taisus over here, that Taisus does not hold that way, and that's definitely the Pashup Shah in Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that that is still included in Basar, and he is Asar regardless of when it was gravy or these shreds at the time of the nether. And the Mishnah continues that Rabbi Yehuda brings a Maisa, brings a story, that Reb Tarfon Asered eggs that were cooked with meat. So we see even if the meat is not in its original typical form, we just have eggs that were infused with the taste of the meat. Nonetheless, Reb Tarfon said it is Asar. And the Chachamim respond that that case was different because the person said, Basar zeh alai. He did not aser meat in general. He asered this specific piece of meat upon himself. Like the Rishonim explain, that is shav yalav chaticha di isura. He makes this piece of meat a piece of isur on himself. And therefore, anywhere this meat goes, any form it takes, it's going to be aser. And the Mishnah tells us it's only going to be aser if in the mixture the meat is nice and tam. It gives taste. However, if the meat does not give any taste, it is batel b'shishim. There are 60 times the amount of other things, and therefore the meat does not give taste, then it's going to be mutter. And all the Rishayim over here, the Ram, the Rush, Taisvis, the Ramban in the back, ask the following question. How could we say that if the meat is not nice in time, it's going to be mutter, it's batel b'shishim? We learned later in the Masechta on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph that Nedarim is a davar sheyesh lo matirim. Nedarim is considered something that has a heter, because as the Gemara says, Nedarim, there's even a mitzvah for the person to be matir neder. The person is not supposed to hold on to the neder because of Reb Nosson, who said, Kol anayder kilu bana bama v'amakaymai kilu makir v'la karben, that one is supposed to dispose of his neder. He should go be matir neder. And since Nedarim is the davar sheyesh lo matirim, the Gemara says that it's not going to be bata, even b'shishim, even in 60 times the amount, it's not going to be bata. So how could our Mishnah say that the mixture, the eggs, are going to be mutter if they're not nice in time, if the meat does not give taste? What happened to the klal of davar sheyesh lo matirim? And all the Rishonim over here, the Ran, Rush, Taisus, Ramban, all explain the following, you cite, very fundamental principle, that the halacha of davar sheyesh lo matirim, that it's not batel, is only if it's min b'minai, only if it's the same species, it's the same object. For example, a person made a neder on the meat, and a little bit of this meat that he asar on himself mixed in to other meat that he did not aser on himself. However, if it's min she'enai minai, if it's two different things, like our Mishnah, which the meat mixed into the eggs, in such a case, even a davar sheyesh lo matirin, even something like nedarim that has a way out, that has a heter, it's still going to be batel. And this as well as how the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya Simen Kuf Beis Seif Aleph Paskins, that if something mixes with its own min, if it's a davar sheish l'matir and it's not batal, but if it mixed with something else, b'she'enai minai, then it is batal b'shishim. There's a very yesidistic ran over here, one of the most famous rans in the Masechta. And we like to say over the ran and Emirtz Hashem, go further into the Inyan. The ran brings down a riff that many Rishayim ask on based on what we've learned so far. The riff paskins, the riff is in Chulin, in Perakit Anasha, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, and Dafi Arif. The riff paskins that if somebody bakes bread with meat, he is usher to go ahead and eat that meat afterwards with milk, with kutach, because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim. Since the bread that absorbed the meat is able to be eaten by itself, it doesn't have to be eaten with milk, so it's considered a davar sheyesh lo matirim, something that has a permissible way. So memela zak derif, even if that taste of the meat is less than a 60th, it would normally be batal b'shishim. But since it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim, the riff paskins that one would not be able to eat that bread with milk. And the Rishayim ask that the psak of the riff goes against our Mishnah. We established over here that even something that's yesh lo matirim, if it's mixed with einai minai, it's mixed with something else, then it is batal. Nonetheless, we don't apply the rule of davar sheyesh lo matirim is not batal. So in the case of the riff, where it's two different minim, you have the meat mixing into the bread. So memela, even though it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim, it should still be batal. So what is the pshat in the riff that he says that one is not going to be able to eat that bread with milk? Comes the Ran and offers a novel approach to the sugya, which explains the sheet of the riff. The Ran brings the Gemara in Menachos, which brings the Machlaikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that min b'minai is not batel. If you have a mixture of Isser and Heter, but it's the same type of food, same type of thing, so then Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no bittel. And Rabbi Yehuda learns it out from the Pasuk by Yom Kippur, by the Kayin Gadol, where the Pasuk says, V'lakach midam ha'par u'midam ha'sayir, the Kayin Gadol takes the blood of the cow and the blood of the goat, and even though the bloods, the two of them were mixed together, the Torah still calls it the blood of the cow, the bull, and the goat, even though the goat had less blood in there than the blood of the par of the bull. Nonetheless, the Torah considers it the dam ha'sayir, so we see that in the same mint, it's all blood, the blood of the sayir is not batal in the blood of the par. We do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like the Rabbanan that hold that even min b'minai, even in the same mint, it is bata. And the Gemara explains, what do the Rabbanan do with this pasuk of alakach midam ha'par u'midam ha'sayir? The Gemara says that the Rabbanan hold mikan la'aylin she'em mevatlin zezeh. From here we learn that two things that both go on the Mizbeach, they are not mevatel each other. The Pashup Shat in the Sheet of the Rabbanan is that we have a special Gzeres HaKasev over here in Helchais Karbanais, that two things that both go on the Mizbeach, even two different types of things, two different minim, are not mevatel each other. But it has nothing to do with the fact that it's min b'minai, the fact that both of this is blood, but rather it's a special halacha by things that go on the Mizbeach. However, the Ran over here explains the Rabbanan differently. The Ran explains that really the Rabbanan agree to Reb Yehuda that there's a concept that min b'minai, if it's the same min, it's not batel. However, the Rabbanan are saying back to Rabbi Yehuda that we don't measure whether something is the same min by whether it's physically the same thing, like you measure. But we measure whether halachically it's the same thing. Zakhtar Rabbanan, the reason why the blood of the sire is not batel and the blood of the par is because both of them are things that are the same in halacha. Both of them are kosher to go on the mizbeach. So anytime you have two things that are similar in their halachic status, there is no bittel. However, the Rabbanan say, if you have two things that are different in their halachic status, for example, you would have wine that is mutter mixed with wine that is aser. So there the Rabbanan would say that there's going to be bittel because it's two different species in terms of the fact that halachically they're two different things. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we go by the physical aspect, and since they're both wine, there will be no din of bittel. Now that we have established, Zakhtaran, that according to the Rabbanan, any time you have two things that are the same in halacha, so in such a case, the Rabbanan would agree, the Rabbanan would hold, there would be no bittel. So Mimela the Ran explains, this is the idea of davar sheyesh loy matirin. Since this object, this davar aser, has a heter in the end, for example, nedarim has a heter through sheila, so therefore we look at it already as a shtickle heter. It's not completely a davar iser. We look at it as halachically close to a davar heter. And therefore, if you mix, let's say, wine that was aser with a neder, with other wine that was not aser, that was mutter, since the wine that was aser with a neder is a shtickel mutter because it has a heter, so therefore, according to the Rabbanan, we look at it as the same min, because in halacha they are close to each other. So Mimela the Rabbanan say that there's no bittel. Now, of course, this is not daraisa. Midaraisa, since bottom line, the wine is aser until one gets a heter from a chacham, it's definitely not considered the same min, and there would be bittel. But nonetheless, Zakhtaran, that the Rabbanan gave this chumra of davar sheyesh lo matirin because it's close to something mutter and it's close to the same mint. And the Ran explains that this, of course, is only when it's the same object. When, in the case we just mentioned, it's all wine. So since physically it's the same and halachically it's closer to being the same because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, Mimela, the Rabbanan gave this chumra and they said it's not going to be bata. However, if you, let's say, take wine that he asked with a neder and mix it into soup that was mutter, so in such a case, then there would be no chumra, we would not be machmer and treat it like the same min, because since physically they are different, and even in halacha, really, they're not the same. One is aser now, one is mutter. There, we don't apply the din of davar sheyesh lo matirin. And this is the Ran's fascinating explanation why the Rabbanan were only machmer by a davar sheyesh lo matirin, by the same min, where it's the same objects, but they were not machmer in a case where it's min be'enai minai, where it's not the same type of object. Now, how does the Ran use this to explain the riff? Zakhtar Ran, in the case of the riff, where the bread was cooked with the meat, so there it's a much stronger type of heter. It's not just something that could get a heter, like in Nedarim, that you could be mater neder. Right now, this bread that was cooked with meat is mutter to eat by itself. It's mamish heter. both the meat and the bread are dvarim that are completely mutter. The only problem is mixing it with milk. So mimela, when you have two things that are both the same, the exact same in halacha, the rabbanon hold that it's not going to be batal, even though it's two different objects, bread and meat, because the only time that it has to be two different objects, Zakhtaran, is by something that's not really mutter now. It's just something that could get a heter. So since it's not something mutter mamish now, so it's not that similar to the thing that it's mixed in with, so then we need the additional combination of the fact that it's the same species, the same mint. However, in a case like over here, the bread and the meat, where they're both very similar, the same in halacha, then we don't care about the fact that it's two different objects, two different species, and therefore we could say that it's not going to be batal because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Fascinating, Ran. Tremendous mahalech, tremendous chiddush in the idea of davar sheyesh lo matirin. Many achrayim, among them the Pnei Yeshua, the Tzlach, in Beya on the Aftalit, Rekiva Eger in Madura Kama, Simon Kuf Peites, ask on the Ran from the Gemara in Beya. What's the Pashup Shat in the Chumrah of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matir? Rashi explains in Beya on Gimel Amud Beis that because you have a way to eat this mixture beheter, and you don't have to come on to bittul, so Mimela the Rabbanan said, better wait or better be matir neder and eat it beheter rather than rely on the concept of bittul. And that's the simple explanation for the concept of davar sheyesh lo matir. However, the Ran seems to be telling us over here a whole different idea behind the chumrah of davar sheyesh lo matir. The Ran is saying that the reason why davar sheyesh lo matir is aser is because since it's a davar sheyesh lo matir, it's considered like an object that's already mutter to some extent, and therefore it has halachic similarities to whatever it's mixed into, which is also something that is mutter. And since it's like the same min, so there the Rabbanan hold that there's no bittul. But the problem is that the Gemara in Beya on Dalet Amud Aleph clearly applies the rule of davar sheyesh lo matirin by something that has nothing to do with a mixture. The Gemara talks about over there an egg that's a suffix whether it was born on Yontif or before Yontif. If it was born on Yontif, it would be muksa. And Rav Ashi says that since it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, you could eat the egg after Yontif, even though it's a suffix derabanan. Nonetheless, we're machmer because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Over here is something that is not a mixture, it's just a suffix whether the egg was born on Yontif or not, and yet Rav Ashi applies the rule, the halacha of davar sheyesh lo matirin. So bishleim, according to Rashi, that explains the simple pshat that the rabbanan were strict because if you don't have to rely on a heter, you don't have to rely on bittul, don't. So therefore we understand that this would apply as well to a regular case of suffix. However, according to the mahalich of the Ran, that this is a dinin taruvas, that since it's yesh lo matirin, we look at it like it's a cheftza of heter, and therefore it's a min b'minite in whatever it's mixed into, that would have no application, that svara would not apply to the case of the egg, which is stam, a regular suffix, whether this egg was born on Yontif or not. The Achiezer in Chelek Beis Simen Yedalet Ais Hei gives a beautiful mahalich to explain the Ran. The Achiezer says that even the Ran agrees be a sight, the idea of davar sheyesh lo matirin is like Rashi, that achi yachlana be'isser yachlana beheter, that if you could avoid relying on bittul, then avoid it and be matir the object. However, the Ran is bothered by, as the Ran himself really focuses on, why did the Rabbanan only say this chumrah of davar sheyesh lo matirin when it's the same min, when it's min b'minai, And why don't they say the same chumrah even if it's b'she'inai minai? You have the same svara that if we don't have to rely on the bittul, ash yachlana b'iser, yachlana b'heter. So that's what the Ran is coming to explain. And the Ran is explaining that the Rabbanan only said this chumrah that don't rely on bittul if they can create, if we can understand that this object, the davar sheyesh l'matirim, becomes like a min b'minai. It becomes like a min b'minai, like we explained, because since it has a heter, we look at it like a davar heter, and in halacha, its halachic status is the same min. So the Rabbanan couched their chumrah of davar sheyesh l'matirim, that we don't want to rely on bittul since we have a way out, the Rabbanan couched it in the form of min b'minai, that they're both advarim of the same halacha, they're both dvarim shel heter. However, in a case of min b'she'enai minai, where it's two different objects, and the Rabbanan were not able to couch this iser, this chumrah of davar sheyesh l'matirim in any halacha of bittul, because it's clearly two different objects, there the Rabbanan did not apply the chumrah of davar sheyesh l'matirim. But the Ran agrees to Rashi that the impetus, the reason why the Rabbanan were machmer at all by davar sheyesh l'matirim, and to consider it like a min b'minai, is because the Rabbanan were saying we don't want to rely on a bittul if we don't have to. Memela, the Gemara and Beya, is not shver anymore. Ravashi applies the reason of davar sheyesh l'matirim by a regular suffix, because this is 100% true. The Rabbanan are more machmer by a davar sheyesh l'matirim. They don't want to rely on bittul, and therefore the Rabbanan were machmer by a regular suffix. Only when it comes to bittul, there the Rabbanan did not want to say the chumrah unless it could be couched in the halacha of bittul, of taruves itself, that we can look at it like a shtickel min b'minai. This is the beautiful Teretz Mahalich of the Achiezer in the parish of the Ran. Let us review a little bit and build on what we've discussed. We have discussed the psak of the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, that the klal of davar sheyesh l'matirim, that it's not batal, only applies to min b'minai if it's the same min. However, min b'she'enai minai, it is going to be batal. There's no klal of davar sheyesh l'matirim. And the question is, why? What is the difference? What is the distinction whether it's min b'minai or min she'enai minai? So one mahalich which we went into is the mahalich of the Ran, that the Ran explained that if it's min b'minai, so then it has so much similarity in the fact that it's the same min, and also even what is aser has a heter, so in halacha there's a similar status to the davar aser, to the davar hamutar, and therefore, based on the Gemara Menachos, the Ran explains that even the Rabbanan agree to such a case of min b'minai, that it's not going to be batal, like the case of the Dama Par and the Dama Sar. That's the Mahalich of the Ran. And now we like to say over other Mahalchim that are given by the Rishainim and Achrainim. One of the most famous explanations for this distinction between min b'minai and min she'ena b'minai is the explanation of none other than the Rama. The Rama is in his Sefer Tiras Chatas in Simen or Klal Mem Ais Vav, and the Rama as well is brought by both the Taz and Shach in Yeridea in towards the beginning of Simen Kuf Beis, and the Taras Chatas, the Rama writes the following. He says that when something mixes into something else that's not the same type, I will quote you the lashon of the Rama, "Eina heter nikra al hadavar ha'aser, the heter is not called on the thing that is aser, ela al shem davar shen is arabo, but it's called on the thing that it got mixed into, vahave kemisha ein lamaitirin, and it's considered like something that has no heter. Not 100% clear what the Ramah is saying. We like to explain the idea of the Ramah as follows. That if, let's say, you have wine that is aser, that mixes into other wine that is mutter, so the entire mixture now is wine. It's all called wine. And in this wine, there is iser, there is wine that is aser. So we look at the entire object as something that's yesh lo matirim. This wine is something that has a heter because the wine inside that is aser, you can be matir neder or whatever iser there is, you can dispose of the iser. However, in a case where the wine, let's say, mixed into the soup, so in such a case, we don't call this mixture anymore wine. This mixture is soup, right? There's 60 times the amount of soup. So this mixture is called soup. This soup, you can't call a davar sheyesh lo matirim. This soup is not something that was ever usher in the first place. It's the wine that's inside of the soup that's causing a problem to the soup. So since the soup itself is not the davar sheyesh lo matirim, it itself is something that's being usher by the wine. Over there, the Rabbanan did not apply the klal of davar sheyesh lo matirim, and it is going to be mutter. The wine is bottled in the soup. This svara is not 100% clear. The Taz himself writes, "Ein tam ze maspikol kach." This reason is not sufficient enough. And the Taz says, brings the Ran over here, and he likes the Ran's reason that we've discussed. The Pnei Yeshua in Beya and Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph gives a different svara to differentiate between min b'minai and min she'enai minai. And the Pnei Yeshua introduces his shtickle with a beautiful kasha. The Pnei Yeshua asks that if anything, it doesn't make sense. If anything, we should say the other way around. To give a little background, we have to understand that what is this idea that we need batal b'shishim, that we need 60 times the amount for something to be batal? What happened to the klal? What happened to the rule of batal b'raif, that everything is batal in a majority? Why do we need 60 times the amount? And the Rishonim explain, as the Taz and Shach bring in the beginning of Simen Sadi Ches in Yoredeya, that this is based on the principle of tam k'ikar, that since there's actually the taste of the thing that is aster mixed in, which has permeated the rest of the mixture, and that's why this only applies when you have a mixture that everything combines together, not a davar yavesh, dry pieces that are just next to each other. So since it's mixed in, we have a concept, tam ke'ikar, which most Rishonim say is daraisa, and therefore there's no halacha, there's no din of bittul. However, like the Taz and Shach right over there, that this only applies in a case where you have min b'she'enai minai. However, if you have min b'minai, something of iser mixed in to its same type of thing, the wine mixed in other wine, in such a case, no tam, no taste of iser is being imparted special into the rest of the mixture, because it's all the same thing, it's all wine. In such a case, there, midaraisa, it is bato, berayv, just with the majority. It's only the Rabbanan that required shishim by min b'minai. And the reason the Rabbanan required, the Shach brings in Sadi Ches, ice, and ice vav, that it's a gzeira min b'minai, atu min she'enai minai, where there's nice ain tam, where it's imparting flavor. So the Rabbanan were geyser even min b'minai. But miraraisa, by min b'minai, all you need is a right. And with this, Taz and Shach explain the psak of the Shulchan Aruch over there in Sadi Ches, Sif Beis, where the Shulchan Aruch says that if you're not sure if the mixture is 60 times the amount, so the Shulchan Aruch says that it depends if it's min b'minai, so then we are makel, we are lenient misafik. However, if it's min b'she'enai minai, then we are machmer misafik. Zaktataz and shach, because if it's min b'minai, so even if you don't have 60 times the amount, midaraisa tzbato b'raif, and therefore the suffix of whether you have 60 times the amount is only a suffix derabanan, and therefore we can go lakula. However, min she'enai minai, if you don't have 60 times the amount, it's a suffix daraisa, tam ke'ikar. So memela, we are machmer if we're not sure, because it's a suffix daraisa. Now that we understand this important klal, that the din of min b'minai that requires 60 times the amount is only midarabanan. However, min she'enai minai is daraisa, requires 60 times the amount. So this makes the halacha that we're learning over here in our sugya much more difficult to understand. By a davar she'yesh lo matirim, the rabbana were machmer by min b'minai, even though min b'minai in its first place, the fact that you require 60 times the amount is only midarabanan, and yet min she'enai minai, which midaraisa requires 60 times the amount, there the rabbanan were makel, were lenient by davar she'yesh lo matirim. So it's hard to understand why it is this way. Again, according to the svar of the Ran, it could be explained, it could be understood. But as well, the Pnei Yeshua says there's another halacha where we find this irony, so to say. The halacha is that even though most things are batal b'shishim, there are exceptions where the rabbanan were machmer that you require more than 60 times the amount. For example, truma, if truma mixes in to chulin, to non-truma, the halacha is you need 101 times the amount of chulin. Arla needs 200 times, more than 200 times the amount to be batal. And the halacha is, as the Rambam brings in Hilchos Trumos Perek Yud Gimel, that this chumra that you need 100 times more of chulin to mevatal the truma is only if it's mixed b'minai, if it's mixed in the same type of stuff. You have wine of truma mixed with other wine that's not truma, you need 101 times the amount. However, if it's mixed b'she'enai minai, so then the halacha is you only need 60 times the amount, as long as it doesn't impart any of its flavor, any of its taste, so it's going to be batal. And once again, the Pnei Yeshua says, what is going on over here? The halacha on the daraisa level is min b'minai is more lenient. Midaraisa min b'minai is batal b'raif. It's min b'she'enai minai that really necessitates the bitul b'shishim. So why, when it comes to this chumra of chuma, they need 101 times the amount, or by arla, yainesech, other examples where the rabbanan required more than 60, why did the rabbanan only require it by min b'minai and not min she'en b'minai, which should be more chamer? And the Pnei Yeshua says the following idea. The Pnei Yeshua says that since when you have two different minim, two different objects, so the first object, the iser, that mixes in, is not giving any taste, is not imparting any taste into the mixture because it's more than 60 times the amount. So it's clear that this iser has been voided, has been batal, and it's like it's not here anymore. And the Pnei Yeshua says that it looks like a chulcha v'tzlula, it looks like a joke to people, if we would be machmer and say that this mixture is going to be asr. Because it's clear to people that this little bit of wine, let's say that falls into soup, has no value, has no significance to this mixture. However, in a case of min b'minai, where the wine mixes into other wine, there people understand better that there could be an iser here because it's all wine, it's all the same object. So there people could understand a chumra, and only there the rabbanan were more machmer. And Zakta Pnei Yeshua, That's the idea over here, that davar sheyesh lematirim, which is a chumrah that the Rabbanim place, l'chayra, because of Rashi's svara, that at she'achlena be'isr, ye'achlena be'heter, if we don't have to rely on bita, we don't rely on bita. But the Rabbanim can only say that when there's something to talk about, when there's something that people could understand, that there's isr here. However, if it mixes b'she'enai minai, people understand that there's nothing here anymore. There's no name of the isser of the wine into this object, into the soup. Via the Rabbanan felt they cannot apply the chumrah of davar sheyesh lo matir. Thus far, we have offered three different explanations for the chilak of min b'minai and min she'enai minai in regards to davar sheyesh lo matirin, the mahalik of the Ran, the mahalik of the Taras Chatos, the Ramah, and the Mahalech of the Pnei Yeshua. We'd like to give one final Mahalech from the Stipler Kilas Yaakov over here in Nedarim Simen Lamed Dalet, a gorgeous, gorgeous fundamental Mahalech. The Stipler says as follows. He says that the idea of Achila, the Isser of eating, he brings Rayas, is normally only an Achila that has Hana, an achila that has pleasure. If someone eats something, shalike yedarech achilasai, not the normal way, where there's no normal hana, in such a case, the person's not chayiv, it's not considered achila. And comes the Kilas Yaakov and says, amayra dikachidish. He says that if we mix something, amin b'she'enai minai, you mix the wine that is asr into the soup, zak the stipler, even without the din of bittul b'shishim, even without the din of bittul, still there will be no iser daraisa in eating this soup. Why? He says because since there's no taste of the wine imparted into the soup, there's no pleasure of achila derived from that wine, memela midaraisa, the person was not over any iser b'chlal, even without the concept of halachic bittul. However, when it comes to min b'minai, when wine is mixed with other wine, where you cannot say that the taste of the wine is not there, because it's all the same object, there the stipler says it would be considered achila, it would be considered that the person drank part of the iser, and we have to come on to a halachic bittul, that we look at the iser like it's not there, like it became heter, in order to permit the person to drink the wine. So Memela comes the stipler and says that we have a pashut teretz to understand this sugya. When it comes to min b'minai, where we need a concept of bittul to allow the person to drink the wine, so the chachamim were machmer and they said that it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim, it's something that has a heter, we're not going to apply the principle of bittul, and we'll look at the iser like it's still here, and therefore one is not allowed to drink the wine. However, when it comes to min b'she'inai minai, when there's 60 times the amount, and there's no taste of the iser, there's no taste of the wine into this soup, even without the concept of bittul, it is mutter to drink this. And therefore, the Rabbanan could not come and say, or would not come and say, any chumrah of davar sheyesh lo matirim. The whole chumrah of davar sheyesh lo matirim is only a chumrah in hilchas bittul. But if there's no need for bittul, it's not called an achila at all of this davar iser, because you're not getting any hana from this wine, since there's no taste of it anymore in the soup. Memela, we don't apply the chumrah of davar sheyesh lo matirim. With this mahalich, the stipler says we can as well explain the sheet of the Rif and offer a different explanation than the Ran for the Rif, because the halacha is by basar v'chalav, as mevur in the Gemara Psachim on Daf Chafei, that one gets malchus for eating basar v'chalav, even shalike yedarech achilasan. Even if the person does not get hana, he ate it and it was extremely hot, that it burnt his throat. Nonetheless, the halach is by basar v'chalav, a person is chayiv, because a basa v'cholav, the Torah asers the maisa achila, the act of eating, even if there is no hana. So memela, zakta stipler, since basa v'cholav is different, that there's a chiyuv for the achila, even when there's no hana, memela, even if you mix min b'she'enai minai, even if you mix a min with in a different min, still you need to come on to the concept of bittul in order to permit the person in the basa v'cholav. Only when it comes to other isurim, where there's an isur of achila that has ana, there we don't have to come on to the concept of bittul, because the person's not getting hana. However, by basa v'cholav, where there's no din of achila, sheyesh ba'ana, that there has to be ana, so memela, we do need the halacha of bittul in order to permit the person to have this bread with milk. And memela, we could apply the chumrah that kol davar sheyesh matirin afilu be'elef le'batel, the meat does not become batel. And memela, we have a problem of basar v'chol. This is a gorgeous, definitely mechudish tikka mahalich of the kilos yakov. One final ha'ara for today's shir. Just like to speak out the Yesaitis Tikka Rush over here on our Mishnah. The Rush is in Siman Gimel, where the Rush discusses the idea that Nedarim is considered Davar Shieshloi Matirin. And the Rush brings a Yerushalmi. And according to the Girsa of the Rush of the Yerushalmi goes as follows. The Yerushalmi asks, do we consider Nedarim Davar Shieshloi Matirin or not? Do we say that since the Chacham is Eikir the Neder Meikara, the Chacham uproots the Neder retroactively, one could argue that this is not considered a Davar Shieish L'Matirim, because when the Chacham's Eikir the Neder, it comes out that it was never Aser. Davar Shieish L'Matirim, the Yerushalmi says, is only where it was Aser and then later became Mutter, as opposed to Nedarim, which it turns out it was never Usser in the first place. And the Yerushalmi writes, the Yerushalmi comes out, no, Nedarim is considered Davar Shieish L'Matirim, because the Akira of the Chacham is only Mikan Ulahaba. It's only from now on. And the Rosh explains that the Yerushalmi means that the Ikira Akira takes place from now on, because the person was Usser till now. And even though their Iker, the Chacham's Iker, the Neder, Meikara from the beginning, nonetheless, it was still Aser till now. Sounds like a riddle, a little bit confusing, the words of the Rush. But the Havana, the understanding of the Rush, L'chaira is, and this is the way Rabbi Chanan explains in Kaivitz Shiurim, in Mesechtos Psachim, Ayis Kuf Ayin Gimel, that we have a concept that the Achrayim term Mikan Ulaba Lumafreya. There are two types of retroactives, there are two types of Akiras, uprootings, retroactively. The typical case is where, for example, a person makes a condition, he marries a lady on a condition, and it turns out the condition is not upheld. So then retroactively it turns out it became clarified that there was never a Kiddushin in the first place. We made a mistake till now. Till now we may have thought there was a Kiddushin here, but it turns out at the end of the day, there was no Kiddushin. However, by the Heter of Nedarim, by the Chacham, it's not the Chacham is saying, is uprooting the Neder, like the person never made a Neder in the first place, like there was never a Neder here. Rather, there was a nether here. Just now, the Chacham can go ahead and uproot the nether from the beginning of time, as if it was never there from now on in. But the nether did exist, the Isser did exist, until this point. Ki Yadua, Reb Chaim says this idea of Mikana L'Mafreya in regards to Mian. Reb Chaim is in Hilchos Ishos, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes. A nafkamina, halachic nafkamina, could be is whether a person would be allowed to violate the neder if the person would be sure somehow that later on they would get a heter ataras nedarim. So if we understand that the akir of nedarim is completely retroactive, that the person, it's like the person never made the neder in the first place, so then the person did nothing wrong, the person did not violate the neder even before they got a ataras chacham retroactively, once the nether has been uprooted. However, if we understand like the Rosh that it's only from now on, we look at it like it was never there. But in the past, if we go back in the time machine into the past, there was a nether here and the person violated Isser. So then, Lachara, it would be Usser for the person to violate the nether now, even though he'll get a heter later on. And in a chenami, once a person gets the heter, we can't give him malchus because we treat it like there was never a neder for all halachic ramifications. But nonetheless, there was a neder till now in that period of time, and it would be usur to violate the neder. The Rashba in Shuvas Chelak Hei Simen Samaches was asked about a case of someone who made a neder but wasn't able to get a heter from the chacham, whatever the case over there, because it wasn't completely chal because of a condition attached to it. And the Rashba said that because of Shalom Bayis, he said that it's mutter for the person to violate the neder now, because later on he'll be able to get a heter from the chacham, and the neder will be uprooted l'mafreya, will be uprooted retroactively. And we see from this Rashba that the Rashba held that the Akira of the Chacham L'Chaira is completely retroactive, as if there was never a neder in the first place. Not like this Rosh, who learns that the Akira is Mikan Ala Bala Mafreya, that just from now on, we look at it like it's uprooted retroactively. It's kedai to point out that this Yerushalmi really needs explanation, because what's the difference if a neder is uprooted l'mafreya mamish or mikana l'abala mafreya? Why does Yerushalmi say, according to the Girs of the Rosh, that nedarim is only considered davar she'esh l'matirim because it's uprooted mikana l'abala mafreya? It's not uprooted l'mafreya mamish. What's the difference how it's uprooted? Either way, it's a davar she'esh l'matirim. Either way, it has a way to permit this thing. So l'chara, it depends. If we understand the concept of davar she'esh l'matirin simply like the explanation of Rashi, of ad she'yochlana b'isser, yochlana b'heter, that if there's a way to eat it b'heter, then the Rabbanan were strict and did not rely on bittel. So l'chara, this Yerushalmi is very difficult to understand. What's the difference how you're permitting it? Are you permitting it that it was never really usher in the first place? Or you're permitting it from now on, retroactively? Either way, you have a way that you don't have to come on to bittul. However, if we understand, like the Mahalach of the Ran, that the idea over here is that since it has matirim, we look at it like something that's mutter, and therefore halachically, it's min b'minai. So Mimela, we could understand the Rosh that if Nidarim is uprooted retroactively, mamish, as if he never made the nether, so then we can't look at the Isser of the nether as something that has a heter. The Isser nether has no heter. You could just, through Hataras Chachamim, make it that he never made the nether in the first place. So that's not called Davar She'esh L'Matirim, that we could give this Isser halachic status similar to a davar heter, and therefore consider it min b'minai. Because in the Isser Nidarim, there is no heter. Masha ein kein, if Nidarim is uprooted, mikana la bala mafreya, that it's not that he never was Asr with the nether. He was Asr, but from now on, we look at it like it's uprooted retroactively, as if he never made the nether. So then we can understand. So this Isser is a regular Isser that has a heter, and therefore it's considered like a min b'minai.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.